Today on Real Radio.
Church, don't ever let somebody tell you it's not important. Your very salvation is based upon Bible prophecy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his timely series that takes a look at Bible prophecy. In fact, we're hearing a presentation called Bible Prophecy 101. There seems to be a growing trend in some professing evangelical churches these days to stay away from Bible prophecy. Yet the authors of Scripture included these prophecies for important reasons, as we're learning in this lesson called Bible Prophecy 101. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The blessing and the curse which I've set before you. God said, I'll bless you if you stay with me, and you'll be cursed if you walk away from me. And you call them to mind among all, notice where they're at, among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Why? Disobedience. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 3, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out of the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed. Listen, and you shall possess it. That's not what you're learning on the college campus today. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that you may live. God's promise. The Bible says, I will bring you back from all the nations and reestablish you. Listen, the next consideration is this. What did happen? What did happen about this? Do we know anything about this? If we're skeptics tonight and we take a peek, do we know anything about this? Well, yeah. We would say in the modern age that it's called the Zionist movement. That's when Jews began to come from all over the world. I think, I may be wrong in this, but I think it started at about 1840 or 1850. It began to happen. It's been happening ever since with greater intensity. But on May 14th, 1948, Israel was declared a nation a second time in one day. In one day, Israel was received by the nations of the world. It's never happened before. Is that prophetic? Isaiah 66:8 says, who has heard such a thing? And who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in a day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Listen to this. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. One day, Israel was brought back. By the way, within 24 hours, she was at war. She was attacked by all of her Arab neighbors within 24 hours. They had pitchforks, a couple of guns. It was ridiculous. And Israel, in fact, not only did Israel win, but every time there's a war in the Middle East, Israel expands. They never lose. They won't be losing. There's a time of great persecution coming against them, but they will never lose. That's God's word to them. Isaiah 27, verse 6 says, those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. That's another name for Israel. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. I forget what ranking they are now, but in 1948, they were not on the map. They were zero. And today, for Europe and the Middle East, Israel is something like 4-5 or 3 or 5-4-3 or something like that among the nations producing fruit throughout all of Europe and the Middle East, Israel. By the way, we were in Israel and we had banapples. Did you hear what I said? Banapples. They mated bananas and apples. And you say, why don't you just eat a banana and an apple? Because the banapple had like super vitamins in it when they brought those two things together. Who would have thunk a thing like that? Anyway, you stick anything in the ground in Israel and it grows. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. There's stuff that we drive around the Sea of Galilee. You think, oh, where'd those mangoes come from? Hawaii? No, Galilee. Bananas, oranges, limes, dates, pistachios. It's endless. It's amazing. God is keeping his word. By the way, this is kind of fun. I throw this out every chance I get. If ethnicity mattered in obtaining a Nobel Prize, then what ethnic group has won more Nobel Prizes than any other ethnic group? The Jews. Did you know that? Jews. God says, I'll make you smart. By the way, all their captivity throughout all their history only made them tremendous bankers and investors. Did you know that? You ought to read about the Jews in Germany. The ones that survived, they were working because they were slaves. They were working for Hitler. They were bookkeepers. They were contractors and architects. They taught Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar taught them things that they later, when their freedom came, it caused them to prosper in industry. Wherever they're driven in the world. By the way, you want to go to Israel and eat amazing food? Why is it so amazing? Because they were driven out from all over the world. And they brought all these this amazing food back to their land. It's amazing. Sign up. Actually, you can't sign up. It's already filled up. It's next time, maybe next year. Number four. I need to hurry. Oh, my goodness. No, not number four. This is the third consideration. Under number three is what will take place next. Well, as I mentioned, for us, it could be the rapture, but Isaiah 17:1, we talked about that on Sunday. Damascus, we don't know when, but Damascus has to be destroyed by whatever means, we don't know. That's looming. Psalm 83 is a battle that is coming where those who try to destroy Israel will themselves be destroyed. Of course, Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, which is very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I don't have the time to get into this, but since last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, the world, I don't know if you are keeping up with what's happened, but since the late 60s, about 69, since about 1969 to this week, the United States was the overruling influence in the Middle East, the United States. And this week, we were dethroned from that place, from that power. Barack Obama and Vladimir Putin played political chess. You never play chess with a Russian. And Obama got his tail whipped. And we lost our authority in the Middle East. And Russia now is ushered in this week. In the last 72 hours, Russia has become the kingmaker, as it were, in Mid-East influence. It's a sad day, first time since 1969 for us. What factor does that have? Read Ezekiel 37 and 38. Yes. Russia will lead a coalition of nations there. Point number four, after the tribulation period, it's called the millennium. And note this, the millennium, though it's a little part on your screen there, that encompasses what's called the millennium. It's Greek for 1,000. 1,000 year reign. This gets to be fun stuff. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. This is cool stuff. Why? Because the second coming of Jesus Christ happens at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. So what goes on? What goes on? For one thing, Jesus puts an end to Armageddon. Jesus, write it down, fulfills Matthew chapter 25. You ever read about the sheep and the goats being separated? I'll separate the sheep on one side, the goats from the other. He's not at a petting zoo. The sheep are those who were kind to Israel and became believers and survived the Antichrist during the tribulation period. He says the sheep will enter into the kingdom. They're mortals. They're like you and I are right now. They enter in. The goats, they're taken away to destruction. It's the separation, Matthew 25. You've read it a bazillion times. That's what it's about. That happens at the end of the tribulation period, but just moments or just weeks. I think about, Daniel says about 45 days before the millennium begins. What happens? Jesus must sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Isn't he on the throne right now? He's not on the throne of David. The throne of David's in Jerusalem, the Bible says. What does the Bible say? That's our question we're asking. Isaiah 61:6 tells us, "But you, Israel, shall be named the priest of the Lord, and they shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." What? Israel will be established in the millennium, the thousand-year reign. Israel is established. The Bible says Israel will have a king. And the Bible also says Israel will have a prince based in Jerusalem. But watch this. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, mark it down. "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I am your Redeemer. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you shall be honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you," that is their lives for you, "and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west, and I will say to the north, give them up, and say to the south, do not keep my people back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed you. Yes, I have made you." When is that going to happen? Listen, it started in the Zionist movement. It's intensified since May 14th. And God is bringing still to this day people back to Israel, culminating ultimately during the millennial reign of Christ. Jesus will physically come back and rule in Jerusalem, according to the scriptures. I'm going to give you references. We have no time to go through them. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 22. It tells us there that the Lord is going to gather Israel back and he will be once again in their midst. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 21. Next consideration is what will take place when that happens. What's going to happen? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 31, 31, beginning there, that the Lord will establish his throne from Jerusalem. Jesus, my friend, listen, must physically sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 23, 5. Jeremiah 23, 5 tells us that, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise," listen to this, "that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in or throughout the earth." On and on it goes, the scripture announces this, until this final verse, and we're done right now. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, beginning there. "For unto us a child is born, the birth of Christ, a son is given," offered up, an offering. "And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." We learned that that means the governor of time. "Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon" what? "The throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That is a fast flyover of Bible prophecy, how it relates to you. Church, don't ever let somebody tell you it's not important. Your very salvation is based upon Bible prophecy. Do you have any questions? Did you guys send any? Can people be saved during the tribulation or the millennium? That's a great question. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, those that come to know Christ as Savior during the tribulation period will be more than the sands of the sea, more than any man can number. That's encouraging, isn't it? Here's the downside. They have to die for their faith. This side of the tribulation period, you and I are supposed to live for our faith. They will have to die for their faith. And God will give them grace to die. The Bible tells you in Revelation 13 that they're going to be beheaded for believing in Jesus Christ by the forces of the Antichrist. And the millennium. Yes, there'll be those during the millennium who put their faith in Christ. There will also be those mortals who will not put their faith in Christ in the millennium, which is amazing. Don't you think that he would make people believe? No, he's not like that. Jesus, can you imagine, he's going to be in Jerusalem, ruling and reigning. And the Bible says, for those who don't go up to worship him, God's graces will not be upon their land. He'll withhold rain from them, his blessings. There'll be those who will refuse him. Can you imagine? That goes to show you, people who say, well, if I just saw Jesus, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. You have to repent to believe in Jesus. You have to, if you believe in him, you'll repent. That'll have a heart change. You can be looking, imagine people who will be born. By the way, the book of Isaiah tells us that if a man dies at the age of 100 years of age during the millennium, because when Christ returns, longevity will increase. By the way, those of you who are nature lovers, you should be a Christian. Why? Because the Bible says when Christ returns, he's going to completely renovate creation and take it as it was, like the Garden of Eden. And those mortals who live in from the tribulation period at the end, that enter into the kingdom age, Isaiah says that at the age of 100, if a man dies at 100, it's as though a child had died. Isn't that wild? Longevity will increase. And there'll be world peace. You want world peace? Then believe in Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Next question. Wouldn't the rapture make a believer out of those who are left behind? Great question. Very complicated question. A mass exodus into the air should cause people to believe. You'd think so, huh? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that for those who had the opportunity to believe and would not, after the rapture, God will send them, not Satan. God will send them, those who understood the gospel but rejected it. God will send them strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. So yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of people saved, but it sounds like those who get saved are those who either didn't have access to the gospel or they came to understand the gospel after the rapture. But those tonight, maybe you're here tonight, and you can tell me, you can tell all of us the way of salvation, but you don't trust him. You don't believe in him. I say you don't believe in him. You don't trust him with your life. You're not trusting him with your salvation. He's not your Lord. But you can preach this message tonight. But he's not your Lord. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that God will send them strong delusion because they did not receive the love of the truth. That's a spooky verse, is it not? That's something. One more, and then we can maybe take a few more. Next one. Is there? Will we be around for the rebuilding of the third temple? You know what? I don't think so for this reason. Pure opinion on my part. Again, 2 Thessalonians tells us that it's the Antichrist that gives the Jews the thumbs up to rebuild the temple. He's the one that initiates permission or grants permission. And I believe the Bible teaches that the church will not be here when he's revealed. I believe that it's the Holy Spirit holding. The scripture says that he who will hinder or hold back will do so until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will step out of the way, and it says, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness and the breath of his mouth and the sword of his mouth. That again, I think, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think we'll see the third temple. However, what's interesting, many of you have seen the actual temple instruments. They've already made them. We've seen them. They're under incredible security. They're in Jerusalem. They're there. It's crazy. I mean, the amount of gold and silver and the menorah for the temple, it's bigger than me. It's just amazing. So if they're doing that, that's kind of an eye-opener. Huh? Next question, maybe? We can probably do one more before children's ministry kills me. I have a teacher who believes the rapture, the tribulation, basically everything in Revelations minus chapter 22 has already happened. Is this true? No, this is false. It's false. Man, first of all, I wish chapter 22 would happen. No, that's kind of an odd approach. If you believe all these things, which is called the futurist view, which is what, if you are a premillennialist, you have to be a premillennialist or an amillennialist or a postmillennialist. You're one of those three, every one of you. So what am I? What am I? I don't know. What are you? Because however you've been taught influences the rest of the way you view Scripture. Have you ever bumped into people who say they can lose their salvation? That's because they were taught from an amillennial view, which they spiritualize Scripture. They don't take it literally. The futurist is a premillennialist. What does that mean? That means everything we talked about tonight will be fulfilled like all other prophecies have been fulfilled, exactly as God said. For example, before 1948, a lot of amillennialists and postmillennialists said, Israel will really not become a nation. It won't really happen. It's spiritually speaking. And they're still trying to hang on to that today. Those are the same guys that deny Israel's right to the land tonight. Why do they think that? They read the same Bible you do, because they were polluted by a denominational interpretation that spiritualizes the Scripture. Did you get that? Are you guys okay with this? So this question right here is amazing. That flirts with what is called preterism, meaning Book of Revelation is fulfilled. It's all done. It's everything in it is over. There's a lot of famous people who hold this view, by the way. It's not, they ain't, all the 7-year tribulation, the temple was built, the Antichrist, it all happened with Rome in 70 AD. It's all done. And the lion is laying down. Go take a lion right now and lay it down with a lamb and see what happens. Right? Go have your little kid play with a cobra and see who gets bit. Listen, Revelation chapter 22 is the wonderful introduction of God's, what is called the day of God, when all time ceases, the millennium is over, all sin is eradicated for all forever, and the physical universe ceases to exist, and what's called the day of God abides forever. It's where you and I will be with the Lord forever and ever, and Revelation 22, thank God, is still yet to happen. It's still coming.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson that emphasizes the importance of really understanding Bible prophecy, Bible Prophecy 101, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's recent series that takes a look at Bible prophecy, current events in the Middle East, and what we believers can expect in today's world. Now, we're offering this entire conference, including what you just heard by Pastor Jack, all on one USB drive. In fact, you'll get both the MP3 files and the MP4 video files. You're going to like that. So again, the entire Awaken Prophecy Month series with Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs, all on one USB drive. I got to tell you, I actually sat in for most of this conference. You're going to love this USB drive with all this fabulous teaching. And that includes all the MP3s, as well as the MP4 video files for your computer or your mobile device. All we ask for is your contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on the button right there in the middle of the page that says Special Offer. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Now, if you'd like to send in your gift, our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.